To it, if you could just turn into your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We have had the text read by the young lady, which was wonderful. I just want to read again in your hearing verse 8. Let me know when you've got it by saying amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 8. And let's read it together. Ready? Be what? Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, who? Whose adversary? Your adversary. Sometimes we have to be reminded who we're fighting against. Your adversary, the devil, as what? A roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whenever you read the Bible, you always want to ask the question to the text, why does Peter use certain words? Why is he calling the devil a roaring lion rather than a roaming lion? Or a running lion. Maybe a roaming lion would be more fearful because he's basically saying the devil is all over the place. Maybe he could have said a running lion, a lion charging at God's people. Maybe this would be more fitting, but for some reason, Peter decides to use the word roaring. My sermon today, When Lions Roar. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for your love. We're grateful for your word, and so we're asking now that your Holy Spirit might be present. I, as a preacher, can only speak to ears, but the Holy Spirit can speak to hearts. So if your Holy Spirit would come and make this word plain, we will all leave here changed. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, I had decided I was going to lose some weight. We have all made that pledge. It was not a New Year's resolution. I just decided I needed to get back in shape. So I went online and I typed in my age, and I typed in my current weight, and I typed in my ideal weight, and I found my body mass index. Anybody's ever done that? I typed this in, and I had this whole plan. I'm going to finally get in shape. As men, we don't really share those kind of things with one another, but I had this guy. He was not a friend. He was just an acquaintance. I shared with him my goals of getting in shape, what I was going to do, and how I was going to go about it, and what I was going to eat, and my exercise routines, and my opening up to this guy who was not my friend, just an acquaintance, began to now tell me what was wrong with my plans in getting in shape. He began to tell me what wasn't going to work, and what I had decided to do that wasn't going to happen, and to be honest, I started to get a little upset. This conversation about my goals now has turned into him lecturing me on the mistakes and the errors that I have made in trying to get this together. And I got to admit to you, I got angry. And so I'm listening to him, and I'm upset for one reason and one reason only. The guy who's lecturing me is fatter than I am. How are you going to give me advice, and you're more out of shape than I am? My stomach sticks out just a little, but I can't even see your belt. If anybody's going to give me advice, it ain't going to be you. That's how I feel when I read this text. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober. The word sober means self-control. It says be vigilant. The word vigilant means be watchful. I got a problem with this because it is the author of this text that I have a problem with. If anyone's going to give me advice about self-control, it ain't going to be Peter. Of all the people in the Bible, Peter, you keep silent on this. Not Peter who loses his temper and cussing Peter. No. Don't give me advice on being self-controlled, Peter. I would not take advice from him until I studied this. And the commentary says that this Peter is not the same Peter. Aren't you glad that somewhere in your and my story, we aren't the same us? Because we have had an interaction with Jesus, we're not the same person. And so the Bible says this Peter is not that Peter. This is a converted Peter. You see, Peter, he promised the Lord that he would not let him down. He promised the Lord that he would be with him. But you remember in Mark chapter 14 where he was before that coal fire and they asked him, aren't you one of his followers? And he denies Jesus. But it was that second coal fire where he was warming on the shore and John chapter 21 where Jesus has this intimate conversation with Peter and he says, Peter, lovest thou me? And he says, yes, I love you. And Jesus says to Peter, this one who was out of control and this one who kept, he says, listen, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. This text is that feeding. And I can imagine as Peter is writing this, there might be tears in his eyes as he says to them, please, 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 be sober. Be watchful. I know what it's like to think that you can stand and let your guard down. This time, please be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter is giving advice to this early church. And so in verse 1 of chapter 5, the Bible says that the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom I also an elder and a witness to the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Peter is giving this advice to the church because the church is going through some tough times. And he's giving this advice because the church is gonna get worse for the church. And so he's saying to them, listen, pastors, I want to give you this message. Elders, I want to give you this message. Make sure you feed this flock. Make sure you nurture this flock because this flock belongs to God. As a pastor and as elders, we ought to make sure that we are servants that do not mind smelling like the sheep. We do not mind staying up all night praying with God's sheep. We do not mind crying and doing whatever we need to do as pastors. He said, make sure that you take care of God's flock. In a world of mega churches and pastors with private jets, it's not about that. It's about taking care of God's flock. Ministry is tough. But he says, listen, take care of God's sheep. The church is going through this trouble, and the time's going to get worse. It's like the time we live in now. And so Peter is giving this solemn word to the church. He first turns to the leaders, and he says, listen, take care of the flock. And in verse 4 it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's your reward, Pastor. That's your reward, Elder Church Leader. That's the goal, the crown. Not that they call your name, but the crown. Not that they name a building after you, but the crown. Don't, in serving God, in serving the church, miss out on your crown. Then he has dealt with these elders, and he has dealt with the pastors of the flock. He turns in verse 5 and he says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elders, yea, all of you, be submissive one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. I preach a lot of places, and everywhere I go, I find this disjoint between the younger generation and the older. I go to churches and it never fails. The young people pull me aside and they say, you know what, in church we want to hear more praise and worship. And then one of the older members will pull me aside and say, listen, what we need is we need more hymns. We need to sing more hymns in church. And so here we are vacillating between praise and worship and hymns. You know, one day I looked up the word hymn, the definition of hymn. Do you know what the definition of hymn is? A song of praise and worship. Now I see Peter saying, be careful. He'll have us arguing over nothing. Be sober, be watchful. The church must be together. Our young generation and our old generation and our elders, Peter is pleading to the church. Why? Because we must be together in times of peace, or we'll never stand in times of persecution. We must be together in times of peace, or we'll never stand in times of persecution. Peter is reaching out to the church because the times are going to get worse, and we live in a day and age where the times will get worse. He says, submit yourselves to one another. The young and the older generation must work together. It's foolishness. I got to show you something. I got to hit this home. This is my iPhone here. This is hip. It's slim. It does a whole lot of stuff. This is the younger generation. It's people are telling us that, you know, there is no connection between the two. But let me illustrate this. This is my phone, and it's not my wife's phone, because you could tell the difference. My wife has a crack in hers, and she had a crack in the last one, and the one before that. But this is my phone. It's hip. But let me ask you guys, who remembers this phone here? This phone takes pictures. You ask people to take your picture while you were taking this phone here. But the thing is, when this phone came out, it came right after the block phone. So this was what was hip. It flipped. And the antenna pulled out. Now it was crazy, because you probably paid $3 a minute just to talk on this thing. But you know what? If neither of these phones are connected to the source, they're useless. If neither of these are connected to the source, it's good for nothing. There's a more in common with this younger generation and this old generation than you think. Why? Because one reason is, one day this will go the way of this. And so our younger generation, our older generation need to embrace one another and say, listen, I know you're going through some stuff. I know it's rough out there. I know there's peer pressure. Why? Because I've been there. Our younger generation must embrace the older generation for guidance, and our younger generation, our older generation must embrace the younger generation and say, listen, is there anything I can do? Can I be in your life? Can I help mentor you? Peter is saying to this younger generation and the older generation, listen, be careful that we are not arguing over nothing. Be careful that we have no connection with one another. Be careful why we need each other. The church must be unified. We'll never stand in times of persecution. We must get this right now. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And then our key text. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I read an article entitled Why Lions Roar, More Than Just Hot Air. The article was from a man who spent a good portion of his life studying lions. I don't know if any of you have ever been anywhere where there was a lion, not in a cage, an uncaged lion. It's a scary thing. A few years ago, I had gone to a fair, actually many years ago, it had to be about 15 years ago. I'd gone to a fair. They had this huge tent. Under the tent was this stage. On the stage was a lion and his handler. The lion was not in a cage. They had a big chain, and he was basically chained down to this stage. They had him heavily sedated, and the purpose of him being there was so that people could walk up, take a picture with a sleeping lion, and walk away. I was with some of my friends. We were all in our 20s, all guys, very macho, but none of us were willing to take the picture. So after a while of daring one another, I decided to go first. So I got as close as I thought I wanted to be to this uncaged lion. And they're saying, well, you know, the picture doesn't look right. You've got to get closer. So I got closer. Now, this lion is heavily sedated. So he's sleeping. This lion must have been dreaming or must have been coming out of it. But I was next to him, and this lion yawned. And the bass from his yawn caused the hair to stick up on my neck. I couldn't imagine to hear a roar at that close proximity. This article says that a lion's roar can shake a car from 30 yards. His roar can be heard over 5 miles. That this animal can grow to a size of 550 pounds. This is a massive animal. And I was reading this article, and I was amazed by how fast the lion is and in his techniques, but I was struck by one thing that this article highlighted, and that was the lion's roar. It says that the lion has 3 distinctive roars. How many? 3 distinctive roars: a low roar, a medium roar, and a high roar. Let's start with the low roar. The low roar was a roar, this article says, that the lion lets out, which is non-threatening. He basically does this roar to let everyone in the vicinity know a lion is present. He basically used this low roar to announce himself to all the wilderness. It's non-threatening, and the animals make themselves aware that a lion is present, but no one's really fearful. But a lion in your presence, you should always be fearful. But this low roar is basically the ambiance of the jungle. And I thought, wow, have we gotten so used to the lion's roar that has become the backdrop of our lives? There was a time in our churches when couples got divorced and it was a big deal, but now it's become commonplace. Have we gotten so used to the lion's roar? When our children would leave the church, it was a matter of serious prayer, but it's happening so often. Have we now gotten so used to the lion's roar that it has become the backdrop of our lives? The music that we listen to, the televisions that we watch. Have we gotten used to this lion's roar? Has it become so common to us that we are no longer fearful? There was the low roar. I'm going to skip over the medium roar. And then there was this high roar. This high roar, remember I told you this lion could roar and he could shake a car window from 30 yards. The article says this is the roar the lion uses, and when he roars, he stops his prey in their tracks. They are immobilized. His roar is so powerful, they cannot move. This loud, high roar. Some of us have experienced this. This devil has roared over our lives, and he's used this high roar, and it has stopped us in our tracks. He's told some of us that your father was an alcoholic, and you will be too. And it has stopped us in our tracks. He has told us that your marriage is beyond being saved, and he's roared over our marriages, and it stopped us in our tracks. He has roared at us, and he's told us that we have done too much sin for God's grace to clean. And it has stopped us, frozen in our tracks. Peter says, be careful of not a running lion, not a roaming lion, but this roaring lion. The low roar, the medium roar, the high roar. I told you the low, I told you the high, but it was the medium roar that astonished me. The low roar he puts out to just put in the ambiance to let people know that he is present. The high roar, he stops his prey in their tracks. But it's this medium roar that was the scariest. This animal who can weigh up to 550 pounds, who can shake a car window from 30 yards, whose roar can be heard over 5 miles. This animal has the ability to do what is called a medium roar. I want you to listen. This medium roar, almost like a ventriloquist, this lion can throw his voice to mass his distance from you. He has the ability to throw his voice to mass his distance from you. He'll make a roar that sounds like he's way out in the field, when in actuality he's closer than you think. Has this roaring lion come closer to us than we think? Has he come into our church pews? Has he come into our family circle? Peter says, be careful. Be watchful of this not running, not roaming, but roaring lion. Now you might say to yourself, preacher, you frightened us. What do we do about this lion? But I want to point out something to you. Look at verse 8 again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, what? What does your Bible say after devil? What is the word? What's that word? What? As a roaring lion. As a roaring lion. Now, let me turn your Bibles to Revelations 5:5. When you got it, say amen. Revelations 5, chapter 5. You got it? Let's read. And one of the elders said unto me, what? Weep not, behold what? Wait a minute. That says what? The lion. See, when the Bible refers to Satan, he's as a lion. He's like a lion. But I'm so glad when the Bible mentions my Savior, Jesus Christ, the Bible says he is a lion. We have nothing to fear because we've got a true lion on our side. The devil is like a lion, but Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. We have no need to be afraid, and we have no need to fear, because we've got a lion on our side. A true lion. The lion. He's not like a lion. He is the lion.